Welcome back, viewers and listeners, to Breaking Bread, a podcast where we sit and discuss topics surrounding the Christian walk. Once again, today I'm your host, Ishmael Claudio. With me is my co-host, Nick Vasquez.
What up?
Yeah, what up? So today is just really a recap of episode one. We introduced being a priest of the home, and we got some good feedback, especially those from Grace Baptist Church. We just want to say thank you for that. I know Nick wants to say thank you, one of your elders right here.
Thank you.
and that's really what we're going to do today. And this recap is just going to be a very short cap, I should say. Recap, short cap. I see what I did there.
I have a short cap.
He does. I don't know about that. But in this short recap of episode one, we're just going to address questions that these viewers or the viewers did have, and also given more of an input, because I know that we discussed being priests of the home, but we didn't really give a straight definition or one or two sentence definition of what a priest of the home is. And I know some people watching it still had a concern about, okay, what is the definition of priest of the home? So with that, we really were just gonna dive into it and just say, all right, let's tackle these questions. It's not that many questions, and let's just go for it.
Let's do it.
What do we mean when we say being priest of the home? When we say priest of the home, what we mean by that is a saved husband and or father serving and leading his family in all things pertaining to God and life. Would you agree with that definition?
Yeah, I agree with it. Just we have to remember that all Christians are priests. Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. So our ministry in general is going to be, you know, is going to have a priestly aspect to it. So, you know, that's what we always have to remember. And when that ministry specifically gets into marriage, then we see that we have to apply our own priesthood. It's like an office for us. It was an office for Christ. It is an office for Christ because he is the priest still standing at the right hand, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he himself is interceding for us. So he has a priesthood that's everlasting. And we as Christians, we are a royal priesthood, as the true church, as the true Israel of Christ.
The reason that we start off this definition with saved is because of that verse right there in 1 Peter. On 1 Peter, what we bring it up is that he's saying that we are a royal priesthood. We don't mean the whole world. Like, the whole world is not a royal priesthood, correct? Or is it just those who are his elect?
Those who belong to Christ, right, the elect. The thing to think about is that it's Christ who tore the veil in half. Yes. And it's because of Christ that we have access to God, right? And the Levitical priests, they had an access to God through their ministry. But that was a very separate thing from the people. And by holy priesthood, what Peter's telling us is that now we have an access, a priestly access to God. But it's not through anything that we've offered up in and of ourselves, but it's through our faith in the one who offered up himself, Jesus Christ.
That's the reason why we say saved. And husband and or father, being priest of the home relates to those who are a husband and or a father, you would say. Right. Somebody that's the head of their household.
That's what I said. Like, you have to apply your priesthood into every aspect of your life, right? And what is your first and primary ministry? It's your family. We have in Ephesians 5:22, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. So the husband is the head of the household. He's the and he's called to have a priestly duty towards his wife. And it's Christ when he's mentioned in this verse. So this is a very priestly work, right? And if we're to imitate Christ, then our work is going to be priestly as well.
Another question that came in, which was, how does this apply to single men? How is being priest of the home apply to single men?
I would still remind, you know, Christians that we are a royal priesthood. So your Christian walk already has a priestly aspect to it. You know, and I say that because I will hope every man would desire to be a husband and a father, you know, even, and there are circumstances within the providence of God that may hinder that. But I do, you know, I would hope that every Christian man would desire to do that.
With the single men that are out there, what we are addressing here as being a priest of the home, it's something that even though you're not actually there yet, there are still some aspects of being priest of the home that you can practice, especially what we talked about in the first episodes as handling the word properly. You don't have to be a husband and a father to handle the word properly. It starts now. That's one big thing of being a priest or being priestly in your duties, is you have to learn how to handle the word. You have to be an intercessor, or you have to have prayer time as a single man. What we're talking about here, it's something that you can strive for. As you're hearing this podcast, you're like, okay, these are the duties of a husband, and these are the duties of a father that, like Nick did say, that would strive to be in the future. Like, hey, I want to strive to be like this, so why not start practicing now?
Right. It's now, you know, it's preparatory in nature. So you want to use this time to prepare for your priestly work. So loving God and neighbor can prepare you to be other oriented, to esteem others more than you would esteem yourself, right? That can prepare you to love your wife sacrificially, to turn the TV off, to spend time with and minister to your kids, right? To spend time in prayer, interceding for your brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis preps you, right, for when you have a wife and kids. You know, setting aside time to study God's word, that's going to prepare you, right? Having personal time of worship in home, that'll prepare you for family worship. You know, learn to form spiritual habits that you will be able to carry over into whatever circumstances God may put you in. When we come to Christ, there's a resolve that we have to have. Christ was resolved to complete his mission. The devil couldn't take him off his path, right? The people couldn't sway him off his path, and their rejection didn't discourage him from continuing his mission. And if we're to be like Christ, we have to have that same type of resolve. So all these things can be, you can prepare for in your walk right now, okay? And you got to hone this, because when you get married, you're going to be challenged in a whole new different way. You know, and you don't want to get caught off guard in that sense.
I hope that answers that question, but
you don't want to wait till the last minute. You know what I'm saying?
Don't wait. Don't wait. Like Pastor Peter always used to tell me, especially in marriage and counseling, one of the things he likes to say is like, if you are not practicing it now, you're not going to do it in marriage. I'm serious. If you're not practicing it before marriage, you're not going to do it in marriage. Like, so you have to establish this game plan or these practices, these disciplines, these habits now, especially now that you're single too. Is like you have a lot more time on your hand than those who are married with kids, because time management becomes with those points that you made. Now it leads us into the next question, which is the final question, is what are some struggles of being priest of the home? I know in episode one, I did speak about being priest of the home, and I did say that I had some struggles, but I never elaborated on it. And I guess one of the questions was like, hey, what are some examples of struggles that we had as priests of the home? I guess if you want me to start, do you start this? Like, how
you can start. I just know that I fail at everything.
I guess I can. So really, in a nutshell, I broke it down into like three things that I struggled with as being priest of the home. The very first thing I did struggle with is that flesh pride coming into the certain things, like leading as a dictator rather than leading in love, leading as Christ would. Because even though I am priest of the home, at times I would be like, all right, what I say goes. And that's not really how it works. Because like you did bring up before, especially in the beginning of this conversation, Ephesians 5, about loving your wife and loving your wife as your own body. I wouldn't treat my own body like that. I don't like to be told exactly what to do sternly, as you can say. So that was one of the struggles I did have, like seriously, like leading as a dictatorship, like, okay, this is all of finances. This is what's going to happen with the finances. And that's that. You have no say. Or, oh, this is going to be the time where we have this, or this is going to be the time where we go out, or this is going to be this. And you have no say. Like there was no conversations. There wasn't a two-way street. It was just like me saying everything and you following. And that actually could make a wife bitter, and it could lead into like, you know what, I'm not going to submit to this because there's no love. There's no Christ-like love in the midst of this. Like, yes, I am the head, but you have to lead in love. Like, would you do it to your own body? Like, you have to read it in Ephesians. It does say that in Ephesians. Like, you have, the husbands, love your wife as you would love your own body. Because no one treats his own body harmfully.
I mean, you gotta lead in a way that your wife and your kids are going to want to follow you. You know? Because you could also lead in a way where you push them away. You know? And I think one of my struggles was that, you know, I like to play the back. You know, I'm not necessarily one who wanted to go out of my way to be a leader. So being told that now I'm a leader in the home was kind of challenging to me because I didn't want it. I didn't want that spot. And the wife that I married is not a waiter. So she, you know, and I knew that. So I took advantage of that. So I allowed the sin within me. You know, say if I fall back long enough, she's not going to wait and she's going to take the lead. But then now I'm in sin. And I just was challenged by the different aspects of being a priesthood in the home. And, you know, to finally step up, you know, and see, you take a good look. And I'm like, OK, my house is in disarray because I failed to be a leader. I failed to be a priest in my home. How am I praying for my family? Am I praying for my family? Am I leading in worship? Am I studying so that I can address biblical things in my house? You know, all these different things, they just started like coming out into my face. And it's like, man, you know, you got to remember, you set the tone in the home.
I like that.
So could imagine, you know, the kind of, if I get angry, if my mood is bad, it affects the whole mood of the house. So all these different aspects of being a priest in the home, it's like, man, you know, it's just not about me no more.
The second thing, as you can say, was another struggle of mine was excuses. Excuses play, I guess that's the type of person I am. I like to give excuses rather than to do. I give excuses so I can be like, I give excuses just so I'd be like, all right, that's the reason why I don't want to do it. Like, I use the excuses to support the reason why I don't do it. So the excuses that I had was one, I didn't really grow up in a family that did family worship, where we came together every day or weekly and we read scripture, discussed scripture, did hymns, sang, and had a discussion back and forth. Like, I didn't know what really a priest of the home really was. And I used that as an excuse, like, oh, I don't know how, so therefore I'm not going to do it because I don't know how. The second excuse that I did have was, I'm not like the other men that surround me, especially like within Grace Baptist Church and the other men that surrounded me, like you, Phil, Pastor Pete, the different men that are around me that I have fellowship with. I'm looking at them. I'm like, wow, they really know how to do family worship and they are leading their family the right way. And I'm not as well. I don't handle the scripture as well as these men, or I don't know their ideas that they have for family worship is so great. So therefore, I'm going to fall short in that. So therefore, I'm not going to do it. So those were my two excuses that I was battling with. Like, oh, I don't know how, and I won't be good enough because these other men who do it, they do it so well. Especially when you come within the Reformed community, it's like everyone talks about family worship and everyone practices it. And then it's so easy to fall into that, okay, I don't do it as good as them, so therefore I'm not going to be good enough.
I mean, I think I did the same as far as excuses, in terms of like just for laziness, just out of, I think maybe out of sheer laziness, and I would allow any type of circumstance to become an excuse for me not to do something. And it could be as foolish as, you know, I showed up late for work, right? Okay, well, I'm not going to be able to work out later. And since I can't work out later, or, you know, since I can't work out later, I'm not going to be able to pray either. And I can't pray, so then you know what? I can't do family worship either. Oh, this day's shot. Like anything I would use as an excuse, you know. And the thing is that I started to realize, yo, I lived like that, you know, with things that are not spiritual, and I carried that over into my walk, into my spiritual life. And in all honesty, you know, to be you know, to be transparent, I suffer with a lot of fears, you know? Even when I was younger, I had a fear, like, of, I don't know whether people might want to call it a fear of failure, but I was just scared, you know? Scared of somebody, what other people were going to think, you know, what other people were going to do. Like, I remember even when my son was first born, I was supposed to be looking for work. I didn't have a job. You know, I'm trying to look for work. I would get dressed up, you know, and tell my family I'm going to go out, look for a job in this place, this place. I remember one time I walked right in front of the place, you know, and I looked up and I looked down and I walked right back to the subway and came right back home. And, you know, and I tell my family it didn't work out, you know, but I carry those things over and I start to say, you know, what if we're doing family worship and my wife has a question that I can't answer, you know? What if, you know, my daughter asked me something crazy that I can't respond to, you know? Or what if I'm street preaching and some heckler comes up with something that I don't have a scripture passage for? What if they catch me? You know, what if I'm exposed? Well, you know what? You have to be willing to be exposed so that you can learn and be used by God. You know, if we don't open ourselves up to allow ourselves to be used by God, you know, we're going to just stay in the corner. And you saw Dirty Dancing, right? Nobody puts baby in the corner.
I don't know if these viewers have seen Dirty Dancing. Once again, he's showing his age here. But then again, that is a famous line. Wow. No, but yeah, these are some struggles. And like, this is coming from an elder. I really do hope that this was encouraging for you. Those were all the questions that we did have. But is there anything else you want to add before we close out?
I mean, no, just really approach this priesthood in the home prayerfully. Submit it unto the Lord. This is not something that you should be trying to do in your own strength. Remember, there's nothing that we can bring to God. That'll give us any type of favor, right? It's only Christ. So we should, you know, be low before Christ, praying that he would guide us, that he would give us the strength, that he would give us the willingness to want to be a priest in the home. We don't just come up and conjure up these characteristics. We need Christ. So be very prayerful.
Amen. We need Christ. Hey, he said it better than I could have ever said it. And he's over here talking about he can't talk. But with that said, hopefully you just enjoyed this recap and hopefully we answered your questions properly. Please continue to leave a comment, like, subscribe if you want to. But with that said, Brother Nick, you want to lead us out in prayer?
Lord, to you be all the honor, the glory, and all the praise. We give you thanks for this time, Lord. We pray that you would use this time for your glory, that you would use it to minister to people. Use this book by Sam Waldron, a man that's priest in the home, to continue to minister to our lives, Lord. We thank you for the work of this man and the blessing that has been to us. And I pray that you would use it in the lives of others as well. We thank you for this time. We praise you in Christ's name. Amen.